Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, frosting the spotlight. Doc is sitting right here in the studio. We'll get him in here just a second. We're going to be discussing today, we're going to be talking about, once again, the coming global world that is really coming, and it's here now. And let me read a verse for you. In Daniel chapter 2, we're going to talk about the statue, the head of gold. Remember Daniel chapter 2, the head of gold and the arms of silver and the you get the brass, and then of course you get all the way down to the feet and the 10 toes. And we did a show already about this and the peace plan that Mr. Trump has, the President Trump has, his board of peace. Very interesting. We're going to share some more about that. I want to read verse 45 because this is what's coming. And for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that's the Lord Jesus right there, and that it break in pieces the iron and the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. In other words, it will happen just as Daniel saw in this vision. Now, what he just mentioned here has not happened yet. Now, these kingdoms have come and gone. Now, they've never really left, but they're in the background. Babylon still exists. It's a system that's operating right now. Now, I'll tell you, operating from New York City and Washington, D.C. in full force right now. And eventually, the statue is going to stand on its feet when the 10 toes are ready. And it's going to be headed up by one man who's going to be the Antichrist. And then 7 years later, when the tribulation is over, the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, that's Jesus, is going to crush that statue and crumble it to the ground. And he's going to take over and he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to head up the kingdom. So we're going to discuss this in today's program. So get ready. And we'll be right back. All right, welcome everybody to the program. It's going to be an exciting show today, I promise you that. Things are happening so fast you can't keep up. There's news that's out just in recent days that we're going to share with you today about the Board of Peace. In fact, today as we speak, this is the 19th of February.
Thursday.
This won't air for a few weeks for you folks. Today, the first meeting of the Board of Peace is taking place.
Yes.
And I don't even know who all the players are yet, but
there's probably 20, 25 or maybe more that are a part of it as of now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's more coming. Now, there is one who I read last night, I read that the Pope has turned down his invitation to be on that board. That didn't surprise me for a second. In fact, I said that fits perfectly.
Yeah.
Because he has a different role. If I'm right about this, I believe the Roman Church is going to be the religious side of Babylon.
I think we're watching all of the children of the Mother Church meld their way back toward that. And time the rapture takes place and genuinely born-again people are removed, that system, which is basically modern-day Mysteries of Babylon to begin with.
And somebody's got to head that up. And I'm not saying it has to be him. Could be somebody else.
That'd be somebody, though.
He could die. Someone could replace him. Or it could be somebody else that's in the system, Church system, that's not a pope.
That's true.
I have somebody in mind. I'm not ready to mention that yet. I may in a future date. I have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, but every time we pick somebody out for the Antichrist, he turns out he can't
be. And I'm not talking about the Antichrist. I'm talking about the false prophet.
Yeah, I know,
prophet.
But I'm just saying.
And the Antichrist is still up for grabs, I think. Of course, the false prophet, I think there's no doubt when you read Revelation 17, the institution that's talking
that's
about.
That's right. It's
the one who has the blood of the martyrs on its hands. There's only one.
We know there's going to be an Antichrist individual, but the real picture is the kingdom itself, the Antichrist kingdom.
Yeah. And he'll head it up, and we're going to share some interesting things today, but I'm going to make a statement here. God never meant for the world to be united under one leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in our one of our prior shows, we talked about globalism, and we talked about, out of my Genesis book here, we talked about Nimrod, chapter 10 of Genesis, and then chapter 11, I call it the first mention of man's attempt at globalism.
It is.
That's the Tower of Babel. She has a picture of that, I think, what people think that looked like, the Tower of Babel, what it could have looked like.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting, and I know you have some CDs on this she'll put up. In fact, that's it right there, your CD set. And I believe there's a picture somewhere, she may not have it for this show, we put up one last time, of a building in Europe that looks like that.
Very similar.
Very similar.
European headquarters.
Similar.
Yes.
And I'm not going to take time to read it all, but Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. They said one to another, let us go to, let us. So this is the people demanding that this be done.
I think there's nine times, there are nine pronouns in this verse.
They found,
nine pronouns for the people. Before you get Nimrod taken over.
Yeah. They said, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And you had something to say about that before we come on the air.
Yeah, well, they said, let us, lest we be scattered. Because God had said in chapter number 9, when Noah got off the ark, he told him and his boys to replenish the earth. They were to scatter out. So the people said, we're not going to obey God. We're going to do what we want. So they built their own kingdom.
Yeah. Now, Daniel 2, I only read a small portion of the passage. Yeah. Daniel 2, of course, is, and we have my Daniel study guide here in front of me. Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 are the same world kingdoms.
One's man's view, the other's God's view.
God looks at world kingdoms differently than we do.
He said, you're a bunch of wild beasts.
Wild beasts that cannot be tamed. That's why you have to have laws and constitutions to restrain, not the people,
restrain
but the government.
Yes.
Now, communism's the other way around.
But this is why we're seeing such a battle even in the United States today, is because government wants desperately to have that unfettered control. And so they want us to get rid of our Constitution.
Yep. And to be honest, and I've shared this with folks recently, we haven't really been under the Constitution for several decades. They use it when it profits them or when it's convenient.
That's about
right. But for the most part, the judges that have been appointed down there, all the federal judges, they're all going against everything in the Constitution. You got to fight your way all the way to the Supreme Court. Yep. A guy can't get nothing done.
And as long as we can at least still have a constitutionally minded court at the top, but you're right, you have to go through all that process.
Yeah.
What we see is today a world that is rapidly returning to the day before the confusion of the languages.
Now, this border peace has got nothing to do with our Constitution.
No, it's outside.
This is
outside,
as far as I can tell anyway. And this has nothing to do with government.
And it's a global board.
Congress did not vote on this board. This is outside of our government. This is very interesting.
And my question is, whose billion did Mr. Trump put up, since every member had to put up $1 billion? Did he put up $1 billion of our tax there?
Well,
I don't think so.
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about that.
He would have had to get Congress's. No, I'm sure he put up his own.
He's the chairman of it.
Yep.
And the rules are he decides who takes his place.
That's right.
And now when he leaves the White House, if he leaves the White House, that doesn't affect his position on this world government.
I can see that this is developing. We always thought that the Antichrist kingdom was going to be headed out of the United Nations. And I'm not ruling that out. I could see where possibly these two could merge at some point in the future, because the United Nations still has a connection with all of the nations of the world, but they've lost their real effectiveness. And this is something that is taking center stage, because what does everybody want? Everybody wants two things. They want peace in the world and money in their pocketbook. They want profit. If they can get those two things, everybody thinks that's it.
Yeah. In the days of the kings, the king was to protect them from enemies and make sure they had food to eat, that they weren't starving.
Right.
And, you know, dictatorships. You know. Yeah. And most of the world has been ruled by dictatorships forever. You know, America is a very strange little test tube here. And we've lasted a couple hundred years.
It's worked for 250 years, but it's like everything. It seems like there's always a beginning and there's an end. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he said there's a time to be born and a time to die.
Yeah.
And it seems like that may even apply to constitutional governments.
Our founders made an interesting statement. They said our constitution will only work for a Christian people.
That's right.
Which is why we're floundering now. We're not a Christian people anymore.
We just did a YouTube radio thing earlier on the condition of the leadership and Christianity and how they're viewed by not only the church but by the world, and the trustworthiness even in the Christian community is less than 30% of trust of their own leaders. The whole world stage is prime for the same spirit that Nimrod was able to take charge of.
Now, in Daniel, of course, the Pharaoh the king of Babylon had had a dream.
Yeah.
And he couldn't remember the dream.
Yeah.
He not only did not know what it meant, couldn't remember the dream.
I think all of that was God's preparing a way for Daniel to become the important individual throughout four kings and two kingdoms.
Yeah. And, of course, all the wise men are called. They said, well, king, tell us the dream and we'll tell you. No, you got to.
Yeah.
Daniel steps up.
And if you can't, that means you've been pulling my leg on all these other things. Yeah. Then. Yeah.
And of course, it's not only a dream for him, but it's a dream for prophecy.
That's right.
And it tells the whole history all the way to Christ coming on the white horse, smashing the statue to powder.
Starting with Nimrod, which was about 605 BC, whenever he destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. That's when the times of the Gentiles began.
Yeah.
I know there are a lot of people that think the times of the Gentiles has to do with the church age. You know, the times of the Gentiles has to do with the Gentile world's relationship with Israel.
Yeah. And so we see that statue here, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome.
Yeah.
And then the revived empire that's here now.
It's here.
And we're already connected. We got a story we were going to read somewhere. About another story about changing your money into digital money.
I've been saying for a long time, it's coming, and it didn't come when I thought it would come, but it is at our doorstep.
And we're already digital.
Yeah, we really are.
And we're already operating as if there is no cash, although we can still use cash.
Some of the older folks my age and up are still writing checks.
You mean old geezers?
Hey, watch it. Are still writing checks at the checkout stand. And you can read the eyeballs of everybody around. And but the greater majority of America uses that card. They use it. Got that chip on the card. And so we're already there.
Yep. So this first attempt, we learn some things here. We learn that people want this.
Yeah, they want it.
They want because of what it brings them. Security.
Security and finances.
And they expect that entity that they have built up to take care of them.
That's right.
To provide for them, to give security for them.
That's why in America right now, the one party is in shambles, because they have not done that for their constituents or for America. And the other party is grown in influence because they are providing what people want, stability, security.
So That's why I gave you the statement here a while ago, folks. God never meant for the world to be united under one leader. It's not his will, because God wants us to depend on him.
That's right.
He wants us to live by faith, trust in him, and he doesn't want us to have a kingdom where one man rules us all.
That's right.
That kingdom's coming.
That's why.
But that's not man's kingdom. That's Christ coming to set up that kingdom.
Well, you know, Israel was under theistic rule. I mean, God ruled through the judges and through the prophets, but they wanted a king, so they'd be like the rest of the world. And now, look what it done for them.
Look what this kingdom, one world kingdom, look what it does. Mm. It raises up a man. It gives him a power. And what's the old saying? Power corrupts. Mm-hmm. Ultimate power corrupts ultimately, or something like that.
Something like that.
A man cannot handle that. Almost nobody can handle it. There are a few men that I can think of in history that handle it pretty well. But
humility is not a normal trait for the human spirit.
Yeah.
No.
And it goes to your head, and you've got this power, that more power than anybody else in the world, and it can really be used for wrong.
Can be used for good, but more or less it's used for wrong.
So I have an illustration here that I've said many times to people. The most prophetic book and movie I've ever seen, prophecy-wise, is The Lord of the Rings, written by a man,
One of these days, I guess I'll have to watch it, because I never have. So
J.R.R. Tolkien, back in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. Him and C.S. Lewis were contemporaries. In fact, I read recently, I think I got this right, I believe Tolkien won C.S. Lewis to the Lord. They're both Christian men. They may not be independent Baptists like we are, but they were. They, the Witch in the Wardrobe and all that. What's the name of that? C.S. Lewis's books, famous books.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Great illustrations of Christianity. I mean, just very interesting. And I've seen the one where the lion's killed, and later on the table breaks in two, and he's gone. He's resurrected. Just types of Christ. And same way of Tolkien, there's a statement in the movie. One ring to rule them all. One ring to rule them all. If you understand the Lord of the Rings book and the series that he did and the movies that come out later, it's about that ring and trying the ring of power. And they're trying to destroy that ring because they know. One of the lines in the book is this: that no man can wield that power.
Oh,
they tried to give it to one of the leaders, and he refused. He backed. No, do not offer me this. And they said, "Well, look, you're good. You'll use it." No, you cannot offer me this. No man can handle that. Yeah. And that got me thinking about this.
And that's the truth.
No man can wield power like that, and it not go to his head, and he becomes abusive after a while. And that's the thing with this ring and the story. And I believe the story is prophetic. I believe that what Tolkien wrote was talking about the end time. Hmm. The final book is called Bringing Back the King. And it's where at the end of the movie, he's up on this big thing and they crown him. It's literally the second coming of Christ. It's the right after the fact the Battle of Armageddon is in there. Not called that, but that's what it is. The final battle they fight to get that ring destroyed, while they've distracted the enemy, which represents Satan, the guy's sneaking in the back door, and they throw the ring into the fire. Finally, the ring melts, and all the empire falls, all the demonic empire. Just a tremendous. If you read the book or watch the movie with this in mind, it'll change your understanding of what Tolkien was talking about. And I think a lot of people, it's just entertainment for them. Yeah. But for me, there's powerful figures and types in the story that are real. And so many statements.
With the statement you made, there's nobody can handle that much power. That takes you back here to chapter 11 and Babel and Nimrod. It's the people that wanted it.
Yeah.
But they've had to have a leader. So that leader comes on the scene, and it's very obvious if you've studied any of the ancient history that has been dug up in that area over there, Nimrod couldn't handle it either.
No.
And Nimrod built a great kingdom. That's why God had to come on the scene and bring the languages separation.
And every generation is that way. We want to be proud of our president. We want a president that we can brag on. And we want a same way, we got to be careful in the ministry. We want a preacher that we can tell everybody else, boy, our preacher's, what a man of God
he
is.
And really, no matter the size of a church, everybody, a member of that church, ought to have a relationship with their pastor so that they feel like their pastor is that important.
Yeah.
Rather than somebody else's pastor because they have 1,000 in their congregation, we only have 45, you ought to have the same respect toward your pastor as you would have toward somebody else's pastor.
You know, there's another lesson here that I think we're missing. When we read the passage in chapter 11 of Genesis, and I highlighted some of it, let brick. They said one another, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they ate brick for stone. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, lest we be scattered abroad. I think what we're missing here is these leaders are sometimes pushed up.
Oh, yes,
from the followers.
Up. Yes.
And sometimes they may not have planned this. They didn't plan to be this person that's looked upon with stature.
Human nature always is looking for somebody to look up to.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where to. It's the same thing in a church, same thing in a fellowship of churches, the same thing in whatever organization. There's always somebody willing to allow everybody else to push them to the top.
The danger of that is sometimes we push up a King Saul.
Yeah.
And he couldn't handle it.
And a lot of times, though, the guy that gets pushed up initially is a good guy with good intentions. But in time, that affects him. And humility is overridden by pride. And that usually ruins the movement.
Yeah. Saul turned bad. God replaced him.
Yeah.
David had problems too.
Yeah.
And remember, he numbered the people. And boy, they paid a price for that.
And he paid a price. But yeah, you're right.
Solomon got a little relaxed, and
then he married all these women gave him all that wisdom. You'd think he'd had enough wisdom to know that living with one wife would be enough, but he had all these others. But anyway, we're watching the world. I believe, Dan, we are watching the world right now, and the Board of Peace that you've been talking about. It's outside of the governments of the world.
It's outside of everything. The United Nations got nothing to do with it. The NATO's got nothing to do with it.
And in what I've read of it, their goal is to be able to do what Daniel chapter 11 talks about, a strange god, a foreign god, that's with outside your border. Their goal is to be able to stop wars.
Well, let's go ahead and say this, lest someone misunderstand. I think Trump means well.
Oh, I'm convinced they do.
And I think some of this could be good. But I know where this is headed.
Because it always heads the same direction.
Yeah. And the question you got to ask is, when Trump is no longer here, who's going to fill that seat?
Right. And will this continue? And I'm convinced it's going to continue. But is it going to bring together the Abrahamic Accords? Is it going to merge in with the United Nations? Is this going to eliminate it? I don't think so. But you can see all of this is progressing, and we're living in the early days where if the Genesis, Revelation chapter 6, the first seal judgment is a rider on a white horse. He comes in to take control of a peace initiative.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty obvious that what we're seeing, I believe, is the early days of that.
And I'm not sure take is the right word. I think he comes and receives.
He receives it, yes.
He's crowned.
Yes, he's going to assume that responsibility. Yeah. Just like Nimrod did not say, hey, everybody get together out here. Let's do this. No, the people said, this is what let's do. Hey, Nimrod, how about you helping us do this?
Yeah. Yeah, you be the leader.
Yeah.
And And folks, Doc has a CD on the book of Daniel. Yeah, Daniel, mm-hmm. about the Tower of Babel and all that. He has a CD set. He also has the book here.
That's DVDs.
Okay. All right, this is DVDs here, but mm-hmm. the other one was CDs.
Yes.
I have my Daniel study guide. She's got some of those. She may have already put those up for you to see. And, of course, my Genesis book. This is all good material that will help you understand what we're talking about with this, with the 10 toes and the fact that...
Because the 10 toes are what you see in Revelation 17 and 18.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at, the end time Babylon. Yeah.
And if you understand the statue, and put that back up, Mr. Doing the statue there, the one you just had. If you understand the statue, there it is.
Yeah.
If you understand, that statue can't stand up till it's got the feet.
That's right.
And the feet got to have toes to balance it and help it get around.
And when you read the text you started with, the rock cut without hand, it's destroying all of that.
Yep. Babylon, so Greece, all of that Rome,
today,
of
remnants of all of that make up those 10 toes in the end days.
Right. And it's and we think it's very possible that this board of peace is going to become one day.
It could well be
those 10 toes, and I think that things that's kind of got to be there when we're taken out of here. It's that's all got to be
well,
laid
because,
out pretty good.
I'm convinced that when we're taken out of here and the saints are removed to the rapture, the Antichrist is coming right onto the scene.
Yeah,
Revelation chapter 6. So it has to be already here in order for him to assume leadership of it.
So. It could be very soon. It could be a few years. I personally am looking for this fall, possibly.
As rapidly as things can progress and progress in our world today. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable what's happening. I mean, 50 years ago, if preachers could have saw this, they'd be jumping up and down.
We'd have been scared to death.
All right, Doc, in about 30 seconds, what must they do to meet Jesus?
Well, you need to realize you're lost. You're born that way. Not a thing you can do about it other than realize what God's already done for you. He's already sent his son, and Jesus is going to Calvary's cross. He's paid the penalty. And if you'll put your faith and trust in what Jesus did, you can be born again, change your destiny from hell to heaven.
Man, praise the Lord. It don't get any simpler than that. Salvation is simple.
Yes, it is.
And it's a simple matter of placing your trust.
That's it.
In what Jesus did for you on that cross. It's that simple. All right. Well, thanks for listening in. We'll be back again next time. And remember, keep your eyes on them skies.